Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. What comes up for you when I say that word, God? Is there a feeling in your body? What thoughts come to mind? Perhaps some memories. Perhaps some painful memories. Right? Perhaps some old beliefs that you've learned to set aside, but when you hear that word God, they come back. For some people, that word is even a trigger because it is associated with some painful experiences from the past, which is why many of us prefer names like spirit, love, universe, because using a different name for that thing that some call God helps us have a different relationship with it. The thing itself has not changed, but by using a different name, we come into a different type of relationship with it. So all of this is why today we start a three-part series entitled This Thing Called God. During this series, we will come to feel and experience God. At least that is my hope. That will be the focus in week three, 2 weeks from now. We will come to hopefully build our faith around it, which is the focus next week. But today we start with trying to just really come to know it better, to have a better understanding of what it is, this thing called God. And by understanding it better, come into a closer relationship with it. And perhaps even begin to heal that relationship. For those who perhaps that word God or even some old concept of God is actually a painful experience. Because as will be demonstrated, I hope, through the rest of this talk today, there is nothing that should be painful about our experience with the divine. So we start today with the idea, God, what's in a name? Shakespeare's Juliet struggles with the idea that a person's name has meaning. She is a Capulet, her young love Romeo is a Montague. There having been a very long feud between these families, their relationship is forbidden by the parents. So Juliet, and perhaps the most famous scene, remember I'm a minister, not a stage actor. So, okay. And the most famous scene says, O Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. 'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? it is not hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, please be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. Juliet is trying to convince us that a name is meaningless, that the word or the name Montague means nothing, that her young love, Romeo, would still be the beautiful, fine young man that she loves, even if he had a different name. But I ask, are names really that meaningless? Do they really mean nothing? Do they really say nothing about us? Our names are given to us by our parents. And if you are a parent, or actually probably all of us know, most parents put a lot of thought into what that name's going to be, because they put in that name their hopes and dreams and aspirations for us. Those names can say something about our culture, our ethnic identity, our ethnicity. And for some, it even gives us a clue as to their religious affiliation. Our names come, for better or worse, with some family history. We learn what that history is. We learn the stories you named after your great-grandmother. And this, let me tell you about that great-grandmother. So are names really meaningless? Isn't at least part of what makes Romeo, Romeo, attached or identified with that name? Name is very often the first thing we know about another person. That name becomes our unique identifier. My name is that word that means me and everything that I am. It is like a shorthand meant to distinguish me from every other person, which is why we become so attached to them, why we even become proud of our names. Dale Carnegie said, a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. So forgive me, Shakespeare, but names are important and they have meaning. When it comes to this thing called God, it is actually more than any one name we can give it. It is so big that it needs many names. In fact, I even ask, is the word God, Allah, Dios, Brahman, is it even really a name? Or is it a concept? Or an umbrella term that's meant to encapsulate or encompass everything about this huge thing that we can't wrap our minds around? And to go back even a step further, does God need a name? I mean, if God is everything, as we teach around here, if you are everything that ever has been, is now, or ever will be, do you need a name to distinguish you from everything else? There's not an everything else. So maybe God doesn't need to have a name, but we need it to have a name. We need it to have many names so we can talk about it, discuss it, learn about it, come to understand what it is, so we can be in relationship with it. Which is probably why we hear, as the song stated, and Lori's so beautifully sang for us, God has no name but goes by a thousand names. Probably at least a thousand names. The Prophet Muhammad said, Allah has 99 names, 100 less one, and he who memorizes them all by heart will enter paradise. In an online article entitled, You Can't Love What You Don't Know, Why Learning the 99 Names of Allah is Essential for Every Muslim, the author, whose name I could not find, wrote, the 99 names of Allah serve as a mosaic of his infinite attributes, each one reflecting a unique quality of the Creator that resonates with the human experience. These names are not just titles. They are descriptors of Allah's actions in the world and his relationship with creation. In the Quran, Allah introduces himself through these names, laying a foundation for love and understanding. You know, some of the Kabbalists encourage us and teach a form of meditation that is all about focusing on the name or the names of God, because they believe that by doing this, we receive insight into exactly what this great thing is. So today, I want to share with you many of the names for God from across the many faith traditions, or I should say some of the many faith traditions around the world. And I invite you into that space, as the Kabbalists do, into the kind of semi-meditative state as you listen to these names. Listen with your heart, open to receive what these names mean, what resonates with you, and what we can understand by just knowing the many names for this thing called God. I'm going to start with our own faith, the Science of Mind. And in the book, Science of Mind, written by our founder, Ernest Holmes, the first three words of the book, the title of the chapter one, The Thing Itself, a rather vague, nondescript name. I believe Ernest chose that name because any other name would be limiting, would not reflect the all that it is. So now, some of the names that we use for that thing called God. Creative intelligence. First cause. Great love of the universe, eternal spirit, universal mind, cosmic stuff, the oversoul, universe, the great I am, the unborn one, the uncreated, the absolute, the self-knowing one, the only. And from Judaism, the holiest of all names for this thing called God, Yahweh. I am that I am. Considered the holiest name for God because it is his self-given name. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, he asked God, "When the people ask me who sent me, what should I say?" And God said, "I am that I am." Other names for God from the faith Judaism. God as omnipotent, God almighty, my Lord, the God who sees me, God of knowledge, the gracious God, the God of compassion, the maker of peace, the place, meaning omnipresent, our Father, our healer, the Creator, the Word, or the Law. Truth, that which was, is, and will be, he who spoke and the world came into being. And from Kabbalah, Shekinah, meaning God's presence among the people, more specifically, God's female presence among the people. And Sof, endless, infinite, nothingness, as in no thingness, and simply I am becoming. And from Islam, I will not share the 99 names. But when you look up the 99 names our Muslim friends have for God, you will notice that the name is always followed by what that name means for them. So I will do that for some of these so that we can learn from how they perceive this thing called God. Every chapter of the Quran starts by invoking the all-compassionate one, he who wills goodness and mercy for all his creatures, the source of peace, the one who is free from every imperfection. It is because he is free of any defect that the one who is with him experiences tranquility. The creator, the one who brings everything from non-existence to existence. The shaper of beauty, the one who forms his creatures in different pictures. The giver of awe, the knower of awe, the subtle one, meaning the one who is most gentle and gracious to people and cares for them, although they may be oblivious to his acts, the subtle one. The responder to prayer, the loving one, the truth, the ever-living one, the self-existing one. The first, meaning the one whose existence is without a beginning. The last, meaning the one whose existence is without an end. The manifest one. The hidden one, meaning the one who is the secret inner companion. Our protecting friend. The light, meaning the one who guides us. And the everlasting. And next, Hinduism. Now it gets a little complicated when you look to Hinduism. As anyone who has studied or had any introduction to Hinduism knows, that they are known for having quite a multitude of gods and goddesses. It's either 33,000 or 33 million, but the idea is it's a lot because they see God and goddesses in everything. The names I share with you are all in reference to that overarching Godhead, the supreme being, Brahman. Brahma, the creator God, the unmanifest, the self-existent, the ultimate reality, the one consciousness, and a name that best translates as that, meaning Brahman, that is the same as I. And another name that is best translated as I am the Brahman. Light of the universe, delight of the universe, the super soul, meaning the complete expansion of the Lord in the heart of every living being. He who has unlimited strength, he who is unending, he whose power is immeasurable, he who possesses all opulences. Isn't that a great word? He who possesses all opulences, meaning it is the reservoir of all beauty, strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, and renunciation. The source of all manifestation, the maintainer of all living entities, our dear friend, and he whose form is the universe. From Sikhism, Rahiguru, meaning wonderful teacher or enlightener. Timeless being, truth is his name, the one creator, the formless, the unperceivable, great king, and joyful Lord. And from Native American spiritual traditions, the most common name for God, the Great Spirit. From the Lakota people, Wankintanka, which means the great mystery. For those tribes such as Ojibwa and Cree who speak Algonquin languages, Manitou, which is the spiritual force or essence that permeates everything. And from the Iroquois people, Orenda, also the spiritual power or force that resides within all things. Just a sampling of the more than 1,000 names that human beings have saw fit to attach, to give this thing called God. There are many, many more. No doubt you notice some similarities, some commonalities, and of course that is true because God is God and truth is truth for all peoples everywhere and throughout time. Some of those commonalities, this thing called God is the great supreme reality. It is that thing that is so big, so magnificent, we cannot even fully comprehend it, which is why we just keep giving it more and more names. But it is that great thing itself. It is the creator. It is that thing that somehow, through a great mystery, brought forth all of creation from something that was nothing, that somehow made the manifest world out of unmanifest cosmic stuff. Quantum physicists would call this the field of infinite potentiality. It's not a thing yet, but it can be and it will be. All these faith traditions also have in common the idea that God is immanent. It is in its creation. It is not separate. How that idea ever came to be, I don't know, because when you look at the mystical aspect of every faith tradition, it says God is in its creation. It is the Manitou. It is what is in us. And God is transcendent. It is more than its creation, which is part of why we call it this great, supreme, ultimate reality. It is more than its creation. And God is intelligent. It has a mind. It is mind. It is the universal mind. It creates on purpose, for a purpose. It sees all, knows all, and is the intelligent creator. A creator so intelligent, as our Muslim friend said, is the shaper of beauty because it creates this incredible diversity that we see everywhere. Another commonality, God is loving and compassionate. It is joyful. It wants to give to us. It wants us to have joyful lives. In fact, in the Hindu tradition, they talk about Brahman as a child. I'm not sure how Brahman was ever a child. I think it's a metaphor. But they talk about Brahman dancing as a child. And by its motion of dancing, it springs this unformed stuff into creation. So the very creative force of the universe is filled with joy. It's dancing into creation. And it loves us. It sees us. It hears us. It answers our prayers. And it is our dear friend. It protects us. It heals us. It shows us the way. It is the light that shines our path. So I ask you, what about this are we supposed to be afraid of? Nothing. There is nothing about God that we need to be afraid of. So if you've had experiences that taught you should be afraid of God or that caused you pain, I hope you heard one or two or a few names that resonate with you, that you can take into your own heart space, into your own spiritual practice, names that for you, you can base your understanding of this thing called God. Because as it turns out, there's quite a lot in a name, and there's quite a lot to know and love about this thing called God. As our prayer today, I want to share a letter that was on my desk this morning. A prayer, it's a letter of gratitude, but I'm going to call it a prayer of gratitude to this community. A person who has come to know much of what we're talking about today, that God loves them. Okay, parts of the letter. I am currently serving time in an Arizona prison. I was first introduced to Portland Center for Spiritual Living through the podcast in 2020 when Pastor Larry was still overseeing the center and introduced me to the writings of Ernest Holmes, and my life was forever changed. For the first time in my life, I heard someone like me speaking love and welcoming me to draw closer to God. At times, I think all of us need a gentle reminder that Spirit finds joy through our simple moments of joy. I have a small post-it note on my TV that simply says, "Live, love, louder." I have also shared your sermons, "Be a Nonconformist" and "Pride as a Spiritual Practice," with multiple people. We have a small circle of 2 SLGBTQIA individuals in here who desperately seek a deeper spiritual connection to God. Most of us have been told we do not belong or are unwanted and unaccepted. We gather together and share not only our praises and joys, but also our pains and trauma. People hundreds of miles away in a prison out in the middle of the desert are being changed and having their lives impacted in such positive ways by the amazing work you continue to do. Thank you so much for giving us a space to belong. Blessings and namaste, AJ. That's what you do. Yeah. That's what we do for people we may never meet. Thank you, AJ. I hope you're listening.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.